अभीष्टरम् प्रेमाश्रुलेशरूपमेहयन्मुहुः प्रेमोपरुद्धाखिलवर्णनिगमो नैवाशकत्तं प्रसमीडितुं चिरम्। सौत्तमश्लोकपदाब्जविष्टरम् सौत्तमश्लोकपदाब्जविष्टरम् प्रेमाश्रुलेशरूपमेहयन्मुहुः प्रेमोपरुद्धाखिलवर्णनिगमो नैवाशकत्वं प्रसमीडितुं चिरम्। सौत्तमश्लोकपदाब्जविष्टरम् प्रेमाश्रुलेशरूपमेहयन्मुहुः प्रेमोपरुद्धाखिलवर्णनिगमो नैवाशकतं प्रसमीडितुं चिरं। सह हि उत्तम श्लोक ऑफ द सुप्रीम पर्सनालिटी ऑफ गॉडहेड पद अब्ज ऑफ द लोटस फीट विष्टरम द रेस्टिंग प्लेस प्रेम अश्रु ऑफ टीयर्स ऑफ प्योर लव लेशये by drops, upamehayan, moistening, muhuhu, again and again, prema uparuddha, choked with love, akhila, all, varna, of the letters, nigamaha, not nirgamaha, the coming out, na, not, eva, indeed, Ashakat was able, tam unto him, prasamiditum, to offer prayers, chiram, for a long time. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada ki jai. With tears of love and affection, Chitraketu repeatedly moistened the resting place of the Supreme Lord's lotus feet. Because his voice was choked in ecstasy, for a considerable time he was unable to utter any of the letters of the alphabet to offer the Lord suitable prayers. Purport. All the letters of the alphabet and the words constructed by those letters are meant for offering prayers to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Maharaja Chitraketu had the opportunity to offer prayers to the Lord by composing nice verses from the letters of the alphabet. But because of his ecstasy, for a considerable time, he could not join those letters to offer prayers to the Lord. As stated in Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 5, Text 22, Idam hipumsas tapasya shrutasya va श्विष्टस्य सूक्तस्य च बुद्धिदत्तयोः अविच्युतोऽर्थः कविभिर्निरूपितो स उत्तम श्लोकागुणानुवर्णनम्। If one has scientific, philosophical, political, economic or any other abilities and wants perfection in his knowledge, he should offer prayers to the Supreme Personality of Godhead by composing first-class poetry or engaging his talents in the service of the Lord. Chitraketu wanted to do this, but he was unable because of loving ecstasy. Therefore, he had to wait for a considerable time before he could offer prayers. Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Salakaya Chaksur Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahyam Dadati Swapadantikam. Namaom Vishnupadaya Krishna Prashtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swamin Itinamine Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharane Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshutarane Vancha Kalpaturubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Srivas Adi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare. I was a few minutes behind. So this is a very, as they say in English, pregnant moment, that Maharaj Chitraketu is in the presence of the Supreme Lord, Shankarsana. And he just cannot stop shedding tears of love for the Lord. It's described that so many tears that he was making the place where the Lord's lotus feet are wet with those tears. And we're going to go word by word. I think that's very sweet. And then he wanted to say something. And he tried, but no word came out of his mouth. He just couldn't, he was, as they say, tongue-tied. He wanted to say so many things. He wanted to express his love for Lord Sankarsan, but nothing coming out. In fact, everything that he knew, all the words that he could compose, nothing came. And for a long time, he was just quiet, crying. So that's the verse. Now Krishna, it's interesting, the poetry of the Bhagavatam, so we'll appreciate that, because this verse, this purport is about offering poems or poetry to the Lord. Okay, I'm by no means a poet, by far. I don't even have an appreciation for poetry, let alone being able to say something. But the Bhagavatam is very amazing. The name that is used for Lord Sankarsan in this case is Uttama Shloka. He who is glorified by the choicest of verses. Shloka means verse, not shoka. Shloka. And Uttama, Udgata Tama, means that which takes one, or that he who is beyond the range of ignorance. That means transcendental. So Krishna is always glorified by the choicest of prayers because he is transcendental. Uttama Shloka. Another way of understanding this is Uttama Shloka also means those verses that are transcendental. Because there are many poets in this world who compose nice poetry, great, nice alliteration, choice of words, rhyming. But all they're glorifying is something mundane. They're glorifying something in nature, or they're glorifying food, or they're glorifying another woman or a man, whoever the poet or poetess may be, is very mundane. So all the wonderful poetry used for mundane purposes, that doesn't have... that doesn't uplift anyone. Just as Prabhupada would often say, you know, a vulture? What is the vulture's strength, like the gift the vulture has? Other than smelling dead bodies, what is it? Yes, a scavenger, but it has an ability. No. Huh? He can see from 2 to 3 miles away. He can spot a dead body. Anywhere. Someone's about to die, something's about to die, and the vulture fellow, he knows exactly. He can spot right on in the crowd. So Prabhupada would say, look at this. Such gift, excellent eyesight. And what does he look for with that eyesight? Dead bodies, carcasses. Like, there's such a misfit of the ability and what he does with it. So someone may have great ability to write poems. What do they write? Like, I've been hearing Rompad Maharaj recently because I was in Seattle, and he keeps saying, boy meets girl, woo, woo, woo. A girl meets boy, woo. That's how he says it. I thought it was just funny. Because they're all writing the songs. And mostly all the songs after that are what they call the blues. Right? The blues are songs of pathos, crying. She left me. He left me. I trusted her. She betrayed me. Something. I'm heartbroken. And then they'll take a harmonica and boo, 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 I'm crying. It's terrible. But all the songs, of course, I used to listen to them. But a different thing is, all the songs are about heartbreak, betrayal, sadness, and, you know, being forlorn in the world, things like that. Ability misused or misapplied. Or one may have great scientific knowledge. And Prabhupada would say, you've applied scientific knowledge in designing and discovering the atomic bomb that will speed up people's death when they're anyway dying. Right? Is there anyone who will not die? Everyone will die. When death comes, everyone has to bow down. But you have created with your scientific knowledge that by which everyone will die very quickly. Yesterday, in addition to being the, the Roman calendar birthdays of His Holiness Radhanath Swami and Bada Hari Prabhu, it was also the day America bombed Hiroshima and Nagasaki. Of course, these events are not connected, but such a historical thing that two bombs wiped out generations of people. Something, scientific knowledge used for destruction, misapplied. So Uttama Shloka means that personality who is to be glorified by verses that are transcendental. Or he who is transcendental and glorified by choice shlokas or verses. And interestingly, because he's Uttama Shloka, the word that's used here is Chitraketu cannot say anything. He's like, nothing's coming out. That's the, irony in the poetry, if you will. That's very sweet. And it says, Prema Ashru Leshah. Anywhere you heard the word Lesha? We say Lesha means like a drop, or a very little amount of. Prashad lesha anugrahita evahi janati tattvam bhagavan mahimno. That to know Krishna, simply receive even a drop, fortunate to receive a drop, ashru, prema ashru. There are many tears. People cry for different reasons. And in the Bhagavatam, Prabhupada describes the temperature of the tears. Tears are tears of sadness. Next time you see a devotee cry, ready for a slap or something. But genuine, prema ashru. Tears also come because of suffering. Ashru. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, how to part of that way is for it. If we don't aspire for it, we will not get it. Do we get anything? Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's asked ashru dharaya. Galadashru, like this, vadanam gadagada, and body pulakanand, pulakaya nichitam, was my body sta. When will such a day? Tavanam agrahane. Day come, the when why? Let me help. But if you have no aspiration for it, then it's like, I want something else. So Lord Chaitanya, before coming to this verse, he already says, na dhanam, na janam, na sundarim, kavitamba, jagadisha kamaye. I don't want anything within this material world. whether it's wealth or beauty or followers or appreciation or praise, anything. The most coveted things in this world, I don't want. I only want that one day when I chant your holy name, my body is in ecstasy. I'm in ecstasy. When will that day come? So Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he has given us this prayer, right? Kabe habe bolo se din amar. When, oh when, will such a day be mine? When will that day come when all my offenses, offensive mentality, I'll be rid of? All the things that are pegging me to this world, I'll be free from. And when I chant your holy name, I'll be in happiness, I'll be in ecstasy. When will that day be mine? It's an aspiration. And when we aspire like that, we put our energy behind it, because that is valuable to us. So Chitraketu, he's saying prema ashruleshair. And then he says prema uparudha akhila varna nirgama. Prema uparudha. Uparudha means choked with love. Choked with love, varna nirgama. Varna means to. Varna means. Alphabet. Varna has many meanings. Varna means one's category, where they fit, one's classification, like Varna Ashram. Varna also means to glorify. Krishna Varnam, Tisha Akrishnam. So the Varnam has both meanings. Krishna Varnam means he who is in the category of Krishna. Or Krishna Varnam is always glorifying Krishna. Tvisha Akrishnam. And his bodily hue is Akrishnam, bright or golden. So Varnam Nirgama means the coming, the words were not coming out. Nirgama na eva. Indeed, nothing came out of his mouth. Choked with love. And he says, Naiva Ashakat. Ashakat means he was able to tam prasamiditum chiram. He just had to wait for a long time before being able to offer any prayer to Krishna. So in the purport, Prabhupada focuses that all the letters of the alphabet and the words constructed by those letters are meant for offering prayers. Krishna cannot be described by or understood by, or he doesn't fit the range of language. For example, to be able to describe Krishna, language becomes an impediment instead, because it's difficult to express. Yet we do, yet the acharyas do express within language, but they understand that language has its limitations. In the Chaitanya Shikshamrita, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says that language is very limiting, because there's only so many words you can make up or come up with that can describe the Lord who is beyond language. One of the words by which we glorify Krishna is adhokshaja. It's a very nice word. Adha akshaja. So in this book called Dharma, The Way of Transcendence, which is a commentary by Prabhupada on the second chapter of the first canto. So all those lectures of Prabhupada, they've become nice little transcribed lectures, which is now a book called Dharma, The Way to Transcendence. It's a fantastic book, because the second chapter is a fantastic chapter. In the word adhokshaja, Prabhupada describes, aksha has two meanings. Aksha means eyes. Aksha also means language, because Sanskrit starts with the alphabet A, and ends with ksha, 52 syllables within aksha. The starting and the end, aksha. And aksha ja means anything that is born from aksha, means every word, every sound that is possible between a and ksha. Krishna is adha, he is the one who is beyond that. So he who cannot be fully described even with language, the choicest of language. Now we know, or I shouldn't say we, I know that my abilities at language in terms of its refinement or in terms of its ability to describe something is not there. Right? One of the definitions of eloquence is truth spoken concisely or elegantly. We say eloquently spoken. And in the material world, that ability is not easy to come by unless Krishna decorates the devotee so. And it's described that a person who becomes a nice devotee of Krishna, the quality of Kavi manifests within him. Kavi means poet or very prolific in their ability to say and describe something. So here, Aksha, Prabhupada is saying that everything in the range of language is meant for the glorification of Krishna. So we understand what it means for us is every word that we speak should be in relation to Krishna. It should be driven by the mood of service to Krishna. And glorification of Krishna, glorification of the devotees, truth includes all of this. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Lila, 20th chapter, this is the chapter where Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is instructing Sanatana Goswami. There's a verse number 61, where Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is quoting from Hari Bhakti Shuddhodaya. You know, the context is, I think I narrated this story, that one day Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he was in the house of Chandrasekhar Acharya and Tapan Mishra. And suddenly Lord Chaitanya said, there's someone waiting at the door. A few weeks back, I think I narrated this story. But I'll do it again, because it's about Sanatana Goswami. So Chandrasekhar Acharya went to the door, opened the door, and he didn't find anyone. He came back to Lord Chaitanya and said, there is nobody there. Chaitanya said, no, there must be someone. Find out. And he went out again. So I said, no, there is no devotee out there. Chaitanya said, there is a devotee. He's a very, very great person. Very wonderful devotee. He is waiting there. So when Chandrasekhar Acharya looked again, he just saw a Muslim mendicant there. So he said, Lord Chaitanya, there is no one except a Muslim mendicant. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, that is the person I'm talking about. Bring him in. Like, okay. And he had his Muslim beard. He was unkempt because he had just escaped from jail. And as soon as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu saw him, he embraced him very tightly. And Sanatan also embraced Lord Chaitanya very tightly. And it's described that both of them were shedding such torrents of tears of happiness seeing each other. This is how Krishna feels when a soul, after many, many, many lifetimes, turns towards Krishna. The joy that Krishna experiences is far more than the joy we experience of seeing Krishna. Oh, okay. Krishna is very happy. Lost soul has come back. We can't fathom what that happiness looks like or feels like. He's very, very happy. So Lord Chaitanya held Sanatan's hand, took him inside, made him sit at the same level as he himself. And with his hands, he was wiping down Sanatan's body because he was traveling and he was tired. And Sanatan Goswami said, my dear Lord, please don't touch me. I'm not worthy of your touch. Please, do not. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then quotes from different scriptures the honor of being with the devotee. Some beautiful verses. One verse says about where Krishna says, I don't care if the Brahmanas are expert in quoting this shloka from the Vedas and that shloka. I don't care. But even if my devotee is born in the household of a dog eater, but he has love for me, I care for that more. And then there is another verse from Prahlad Maharaja's prayers. Viprad Vishat Kunayunat, Viprad Vishat Kunayutat, Aravindanabha. That a Brahmana, he may be decorated with the 12 expert qualities of a Brahman, But if he is not Krishna conscious, there's no use. However, even if a person who's born in the family of a dog eater, but he has love for Krishna, then he has benefited his entire dynasty. And then this verse, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu quotes, I don't know if you've heard it, Akshno Phalam Vadasha Darshanam Hi. Akshna Phalam, Aksha, eyes, that the fruit of or the success of my eyesight or vision is to see a devotee. Tvadasha Darshanam Hi. And he says, Tanyo Phalam, the success of the body is Tvadasha Gatra Sangaha, is to be able to touch and engage in services with the devotees. Prabhupada translates, the success of the body is to serve the lotus feet of a devotee. Jivha Phalam, that the success of my tongue is Tvadasha Kirtanam, that I should be able to glorify the devotees. This is the success of my tongue. Why? Sudurlabha Bhagavata Hi Janaha. Because the pure devotees are very rare. They're very rare. A devotee is very rare. Pure devotees are even rarer. So such is the opportunity we've been given to be able to express something, you know, of some glorification of Krishna. This is the life of a devotee. Kirtana, or here he says Varna, to glorify, constantly glorify Krishna, Krishna's devotees, Krishna's mercy, Krishna's paraphernalia, Krishna's energies, in relation to Krishna. Because there are many persons who glorify Krishna's energy, but not in relation to Krishna. So, this is the feature of gratitude, that it makes a person constantly glorify the object or the person that they are grateful to. And we should be very grateful to Krishna. Now, it's not like there is a limit to gratitude. If you're feeling grateful, very nice. We try to intensify that even further. And so then Prabhupada quotes this beautiful verse from Narada Muni's instructions to Vyasadeva, that Idam Hipumsa, here is the different skills or gifts one may have from Krishna. One may be very good at austerities, tapasaha. Shrutasya, one may be very educated. Then he says, Svistasya Suktasya Buddhidattayoho. He may be gifted in different fields of knowledge. He says that the success of each of them is Yaduttama Shloka Gunan Varnanam. That those abilities must be utilized in glorifying Krishna. Here again the verse is Uttama Shloka. So one may have expertise in managing money, one may have expertise in doing something with their hands, you know, physically they can do something. Some may have great intellectual power, some may be expert in the fields of physics, chemistry, biology, education, engineering, medicine, whatever. Carpentry, art, music, poetry, all the different fields of knowledge. The success for every one of them is when those talents are used in service to Krishna. And if they're not used, then there's no point. There's no point in having those decorations. It's like the decoration of a dead body. Mandanam lokaranjanam. What's the use of decorating a dead body? See, in America, they decorate, the Western world, they decorate the dead body. Nice suit, casket, expensive affair. Prim, proper roses. In India, they take it and put the body in the crematorium. The only decoration is that they write the names of the Lord on the body. Of course, the body is bathed before cremating it. But there's no point decorating the dead body. You don't get anything from it. And in this very fifth chapter of the first canto, Narada Muni chastises Vyasadeva. Imagine Vyasadeva being chastised. He's not a bhakta like one of us that doesn't know what to do in life. He has done the most grand, fantastic work in all of the universe, that he has compiled all the Vedas in a way that is accessible to human beings. And Narada Muni comes and says, Tad Vayasam Tirtham. It's like the place of pilgrimage for crows. Imagine, where are PhDs are not here today. After working so hard, your PhD, you've put all of it together, and the advisor says, this is like a place where all the crows gather and rah, rah. This is not the place where the swan-like devotees would care for it. Like, what? Such hard work. No. Tad bhayasam tirtham ushanti manasam. Na yatra ramanti ushikshayah. They have no pleasure in anything. On the other hand, tadvag visarga janatagha viplava. Yashmin pratishloka mabadhyavatyapi. Namani ananta tiyachovanti kanyat shrunvanti gayanti grunanti sadavah. That even if wrongly composed or improperly composed, but it is meant for glorifying Krishna, those words are heard, shrunvanti, gayanti, they're repeated, and grunanti, accepted by the thoroughly honest men. And this is the art we're learning. How to take our abilities, especially the ability to speak, to glorify Krishna. That is the success of the ability of speaking, or words, our ability to put words together. Even if wrongly or improperly composed, it may feel silly. In fact, in front of Krishna, it may feel silly compared to Rupa Goswami's prayers. Like, here's a little glorification of Rupa Goswami. Rupa Goswami and Raghunath Bhatta Goswami. It's described that Raghunath Bhatta Goswami's copy of Srimad Bhagavatam were blank pages. There were no words in it. You know why? Because they used to write on leaves with ink. It's not like this kind of ink. Just ink on leaves, dry leaves. And whenever he would read Bhagavatam, he would shed so many tears of ecstasy while reading the Bhagavatam that the ink had completely smudged, all the verses had washed away, there was nothing to read. That is how they were relishing Bhagavatam. When Srinivas Acharya, he was instructed, please learn Bhagavatam from Gadadhar Pandit. Because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he was very, very eager to meet with Lord Chaitanya, and then he realizes Lord Chaitanya has left this world, and Lord Chaitanya appears in his dream. Go to Gadadhar Pandit and do it quickly. Go and learn Bhagavatam from him. And he comes to Gadadhar Pandit, says, can you please teach me Bhagavatam? And Gadadhar Pandit says, where is the Bhagavatam? There are no letters, everything is smudged. Because Lord Chaitanya has left. Every day I used to recite Bhagavatam for him. When I read this Bhagavatam, I remember Lord Chaitanya, and I'm feeling so morose in his absence. I cannot live even a moment. I don't have Bhagavatam. Srinivas Acharya says, I will go get a copy from Narahari Sarkar. Yes, do it quickly and come back quickly. He runs to Narahari to get a copy of the Bhagavatam. By the time he comes back, Gadadhar Pandit has left this world. Or when Rupa Goswami, in a place called Ter Kadamba, which we heard recently. Ter Kadamba, Teda means not straight or slanting. And the Kadamba tree, if you go to Ter Kadamba, there's not one tree that stands straight. Everything is like that. Especially the one particular Kadamba tree is just... And Rupa Goswami used to sit there. That was his favorite place. And it's described that he was writing two plays. One was called Vidagdha Madhava, the other was called Lalita Madhava. And part of that play was that when Krishna leaves Vrindavan, and the other part of the play is when Krishna is returning to Vrindavan, or they're anticipating that he's going to return to Vrindavan. So you can sense the emotions, right? When Krishna is leaving Vrindavan. So he writes, he used to sit there and would write, that when Krishna is about to leave Vrindavan, he is left, and all the gopas and the gopis, the every creature, the birds, the bees, the creepers, the trees, the cows, the peacocks, everyone, the parrots, they're in such anxiety and sadness that Krishna has left. And when he would write like that, the intensity of his writing was such that the trees, the kadamba tree under which he was sitting, would shed all its leaves. The vines and the creepers that used to grow on the trees and the fences, they all would wilt and fall down. All the flowers would wilt. The birds would not chirp anymore. It was just by the power of his writing. Because his emotions, his feelings were so palpable that all the living entities in that area felt it. That Rupa Goswami was writing like that. And then when he would write, now Krishna is going to return to Vrindavan. And he would write with that joy. He would see that the trees would be blossoming with flowers. The creepers would be growing nicely with verdant, nice leaves. The birds were chirping. Everything was like full of life. And that was the power of his writing, just by writing. So our writing, we can't even come, it may not be anywhere, I shouldn't say our, I can say mine, cannot be anywhere close by. I can't put two words together. But if it is genuine that I want to glorify Krishna with it, Krishna accepts it. Because Narada Muni accepts it. Because Narada Muni has said, Shrunvanti Gayanti Grananti Sadhavaha. So that's the perfection of our ability to glorify. And we have to try. And the more we try, the better we become at it. To glorify, to appreciate Krishna in all the different features that he appears to us. So, you have a pen and paper in front of you. No raising hands. Only exercises. You have pen and paper? Everyone has pen and paper? If not, you have a smartphone to type in. Okay. So take 5 minutes and we're going to write a little appreciation for Krishna. Some glorification of Krishna. For how he has touched our lives. Of course, there's a lot to write, I'm sure, once we get into it. But contain yourselves. Take 5 minutes and write a few lines of appreciation for how Krishna has touched us by his divine grace, if you will. And then we'll continue from there. Before writing or as you're writing, rather than just as an exercise which has to be done, try to touch whatever emotions might be there. Whatever emotions are there for Krishna, try to touch them. Anything. Anything. What do you want to give me? Can write anything. Okay. Have about 2 more minutes. You did? Okay, good. Okay, I'm sure if you want to write more, more will come. Let's pause there. Anybody would like to share? Okay, who else would like to share? Who else? Show of hands. Yes, Jordan. Okay, thank you. I'm seeing so that I know how long or short to keep everyone's. And try to read instead of going impromptu or extempore, because then we don't know where to stop. Would you like to share? No. Okay. Well, that's fine. Paramatma can hear, that's about it. If you'd like to share, anyone else would like to share? No hands means I'm assuming no. Rakthak? Yeah, I saw. No. No, hold on. Your turn will come. Yes, go ahead. Although
Krishna
Jayamaladev was first. Okay. You already have a poem. Cool.
Actually, it's very ironic. Just yesterday, I was telling some of the devotees, a few of them, who were aspiring for Radhanatha, His Holiness Radhanatha Maharaj. So it was his Vyasa Puja yesterday, and I asked them, if you want to take shelter of him or anything, write him something. Do anything. The super soul hears you. And I know Jordan, I'm not sure if any other devotees, but Jordan was sharing me that he wrote a letter. I encourage him to say it today, but he could also say what he wrote down. So, I didn't plan on sharing this today. Actually, I accidentally brought this today. Accidentally. And that's a God honest truth. So it was my offering to Radhanatha Maharaj,
okay.
His Holiness
Radhanatha
Maharaj. So it's called Offering in the Heart. Guru Maharaj, you saved me with your grace, uplifted me with your loving face, touched me and electrified me with the higher taste. You dispelled the darkness of my ignorance, inspired me to make a difference. I owe everything to you. It's true, for you have led me on the path toward the absolute truth. I now realize that Vyasa Puja isn't once a year. It's every hour, every minute, and every second of the year. Without this proper vision, There's no question of fulfilling Guru Maharaj's mission. Your aspiring servant, Jaya Baladev Das. Hare Krishna.
Thank you for sharing. That's very sweet. Paramakarna.
Krishna has shown me unlimited mercy by sending me his direct representative, under whose shelter I can serve him. Give me opportunity to genuinely think for his satisfaction, make him happy, thus helping me to drive away all my selfish tendencies.
Thank you.
Krishna sent his devotee.
A little louder, please.
Krishna sent his devotee to open up my eyes. In a world that is dark, I began to see the light. In a world filled with war, I'm being taught to fight, to not give up, to not give in, to see the miracle of life without and within.
How do you move? Very nice. Yes. Rakshak?
If I could describe my love,
a little louder, please.
If I could describe my love for Krishna, my gift that I received from Govinda would be through the medium of intricate, bright, brilliant colors. In the process, I feel intense ecstasy.
Oh, thank you. Very nice. Anyone else? Other change of mind, change of art? Okay. So that's this is a practice of a devotee. Among the 26 qualities, one of the qualities is Kavi. Of course, Lord Brahma is the Adi Kavi. And Kavi means the ability to express to Krishna in a very nice way. And it will come. And the next tomorrow's purport, whoever is speaking on it, Prabhupada writes, I'm going to just give you a sneak preview. One cannot offer prayers to the Lord with mundane words. All the words we use were mundane. Okay, but the words are not mundane when, Prabhupada says, one must become spiritually advanced by controlling the mind and senses. Then he can find suitable words to offer in prayers to the Lord. That's coming up tomorrow. Acharya, you want to say something? Oh, I thought you took the mic from him. Okay. You have something?
Hare Krishna. Hello. First of all, I would like to apologize to the devotees assembled here if I take up too much time in class. But the reason I'm speaking now is I have a humble request. The reason I'm speaking now is that I shared something with some of the book distributors for the last couple of days, some article I came across by a Prabhu named Chaita Guru Das. And so it was in glorification of Srila Prabhupada and book distribution, and it only takes maybe 3-4 minutes to read. So I
You already read to the devotees?
No, I read to like a couple of them, two of them.
Then you read it at the breakfast.
Well, nobody else is speaking, so I will kind of humbly request.
And then end by 8:30.
It only takes 3 minutes.
But you already read to the few devotees, haven't
I
you?
I don't see what's the problem. Glorification is glorification of Prabhupada.
I appreciate that.
In a Buddhist tradition, nobody else has anything to say. I don't see what's the problem. I mean, I'll stop now humbly, but I think it's very unfair. So I'll just give my two cents in.
I'm not saying it's unfair. Jitendra Prabhu wants to say something. You were speechless. Okay. Let me read something that Karunanidhi wrote, and then you can say yours. Because on one hand you're saying, I apologize, and on the other hand you're still doing the same thing. So this is Bilwa Mangal Thakur. This is from Karunanidhi Prabhu. I hope I can read your handwriting. Where is that young boy whose eyes are moist? Lips are red like copper. From the lips of some sweet words make me mad. The beauty of activities of Krishna make me madam. What can I do? This is Bilwa Mangal Thakur's prayer. Thank you for sharing. Okay, go ahead.
Krishna, Srila Prabhupada, and the glories of Buddha distribution. So I want to take maybe 3-4 minutes to read mats. So once on a Black Friday afternoon, a mother and her young son went to the mall to buy gifts. Now the son insisted that the mother buy practically everything in the store. However, the mother was completely aware of the fact that none of these things would make her son happy. Therefore, although everything was practically being sold out in the mall due to the Black Friday extravaganza, there was still a stockpile of treasure chests labeled Krishna Bhakti waiting to be purchased. Inside the treasure chest, the mother told her son, are books of knowledge that will perpetually make you happy. When the child heard the word books, he uttered, yuck, put that back on the shelf. I want everything in the store except Krishna Bhakti. Then the ungrateful child began to specifically name all the items he wanted his mother to purchase. Indeed, he emphatically uttered, I want lust, anger, greed, envy, pride, fault-finding. I want the threefold miseries, the three modes of material nature, and the threefold divisions of time, namely past, present, and future. I want repeated birth, death, disease, and old age. I want earth, water, fire, air, ether, mind, intella. Actually, you could keep intelligence on the shelf. But I definitely want the false ego. Don't you dare think about forgetting purchasing me the false ego. So in this way, the mother purchased all the desired items for her son, who was sometimes nicknamed Atyahara, which means one who overaccumulates. However, when the mother and son returned home with all their gifts late that night, the son, completely exhausted from shopping all day, went to bed immediately until the next morning where he could relish all his gifts. Fortunately, while the child was deeply sleeping in the darkness of ignorance that night, a robber snuck in their house and robbed the child of all his gifts. The robber was actually a well-known criminal whose name was often mispronounced Harry. His name was actually pronounced Hari, which means he who removes all obstacles to spiritual progress. In any case, the next morning, the mother apprehensively told her son that all his gifts were stolen in the dead of night by a thief named Hari. Consequently, the son demanded that he and his mother return to the mall immediately to purchase all the items that were previously in their possession. When they arrived at the mall, the mother and son soon realized that all the items in the mall were sold out except Krishna Bhakti treasure chest. Not wanting to return to school among his classmates, having not purchased anything for the holiday season, Atyahara the son, therefore, submitted to purchasing the Krishna Bhakti treasure chest. When he opened the treasure chest, a golden effulgence emanated from it as if the sun was magically condensed within it. When Atyahara reached inside the treasure chest, he noticed that it was full of books of wisdoms written by a great saint named A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Among all of Prabhupada's books, there was one that was especially distinguished. It was known as the Srimad Bhagavatam, which means the glories of God and his devotees. Atyahara first came across an enlightening passage from the Srimad Bhagavatam that emphatically declares, this Bhagavat Purana is as brilliant as the sun, and it has arisen just after the departure of Lord Krishna to his own abode, accompanied by religion, knowledge, etc. Persons who have lost their vision due to the dense darkness of ignorance in the age of Black Friday shall get light from this Purana. After having read this passage from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Atyahara immediately realized how foolish all his desires were. Consequently, desiring not to selfishly harbor Srila Prabhupada's books all to himself, Atyahara therefore began to distribute Prabhupada's books among his classmates the very next day. Therefore, throughout the rest of his life, Atyahara refused to be called Atyahara Das, or the servant of materialism, but demands to be referred to as Krishna Das, or the servant of Krishna. Hare Krishna.
So let's take the time about writing or expressing eloquently. What does, when you read or hear this, what happens to you? Huh? Happy the character got Prabhupada's books. What else? Did it touch you in any way? The Atyahara Das is on the right path. Okay. What else? What did it do to you? you realize how foolish your previous desires were in that? You don't have a mic, so I have to repeat it for those who... You realize that your previous desires were foolish and take advantage and distribute the mercy as gratitude. Anyone else? Terence Prabhu, anything? Like the far, can I see? You're thinking. Okay, that's a good thing. Our book distributor, Acharya. Not Acharyan book distribution, but Acharya Nishtadas. In a very contemporary situation, Black Friday. I mean, it's called Black Friday. Age of Black Friday. And the whole economy stands on how Black Friday went. Economists very carefully observe how was Black Friday and Cyber Monday to decide whether they will survive, whether there will be jobs in the nation. I have no idea. It's still black for me. I was writing reports at one point in time, foolishly writing reports on Black Friday. That was just the whole thing that we were assessing, how we would track each day, how sales were going for leading up to Black Friday and then Cyber Monday. And wow. But it's the age of Black Friday and they all want to buy stuff. I mean, it's not that devotees don't buy stuff. Devotees also buy stuff on Black Friday. It's not like we don't. But then it's not like that's what we're looking forward to the rest of the year. I just read, just to add embellishure thing, I just read somewhere that there's a conversation between Santa Claus and Jesus Christ. And said that Jesus was very unhappy. So Santa asked him, "Why are you unhappy?" He said, "Because Christmas is coming." So Santa said, "Well, it's your birthday." He says, "Yeah, it's my birthday. But everyone looks forward to seeing you. They don't. It's not about me anymore." And they all look forward to seeing you or getting things from you because all they're interested in is getting gifts. They're not interested in what Christmas is all about. It's the glorifying, it's the appearance of a pure devotee. No one cares for that. They care for the gifts. And then, you know, that's all. The materialism is such. And then after Christmas, that's like the shopping. The shopping season starts Thanksgiving and it ends Christmas. And the day after Christmas, the malls are packed. You know why? Not Easter. No one cares for Easter. For returns. They want to return all the gifts that they don't like. That's why the day after Christmas is packed with people are wanting to return stuff. Like, I don't like this. I want something else. So, anyway, that's in the middle of all of that. We're trying to be Krishna conscious. Thank you. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Oh, come on. Hey, two brothers, man. Sorry, don't worry. Relax. I don't take anything like that seriously. Please. I think of myself as an older brother. Once in a while, I have a chivalrous exchange with you. That's all. Thank you for following me. Oh. That's really nice.